And let us start out with prayer. Father, I thank you again for this word that you have put in our spirits, Lord, this word you have put in us for our benefit, Father. And I just pray that as I share a word today, Lord, that you be with us, that you just go along with us, Father, during this time of technical difficulties, Father. But we know that with you, there is no difficulty, Father, because you are on time, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 We are continuing our journey through Acts. And today I'm coming from Acts chapter 5. Now, this is a message that I have shared before in another format, but I think it's very important as we look at the early church to see how they operated, how they acted, how just how they got along with each other. We know that the Holy Spirit came. We know that Jesus is with the Father. And we know that powerful things are happening to the saints. The apostles have been empowered with the Holy Spirit and wonderful things. We know that they are enjoying being with one another. They are communing from house to house in prayer. They are sharing with one another. As the church get organized, they are taking care of each other. And today we're going to look at a couple whose plan backfired, who pledged to do something but did not do it. We're going to look at this couple called Ananias and his wife Sapphira, which comes from Acts chapter 5 and chapter 5. So I pray that you have it as we look at the scripture. We will go through the whole process of what's going on, why it happened, and what we can do to not have this happen to us. Amen? Amen. The topic today is the painful payback for prideful planning. The painful payback for prideful planning. And the question is, what can we learn from the deceptive plan of Ananias and Sapphira? And I just want to have 3 points I want to lift up for us today. Number one is the deception. There was a deception that went on. And as we look at this, we look at the very first verse of Acts chapter 5. It says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. So as the early church is coming together, they are making sure that they take care of one another. They are making sure that they share with one another. And we see in this fifth chapter that this couple, there's a man named Ananias and his wife is named Sapphira, and they sold a possession. And in verse 2, it says, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So let me explain what's going on. They're in the process of sharing what they have. They're building this community of faith. They're sharing, and people who have in excess are selling what they have, and they are making pledges to help the church. They are making pledges to help the church. So that's the scenario. That's what is happening here. But it says that they kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, I want to share with you one real quickly. Let's go back to chapter 4 for a minute, and I think it will give us some insight as to what's really going on. Now, if you look at chapter 4 of Acts, just a few verses back, you will see that starting at the 32nd verse, it starts out with, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And they those who possessed land, they sold the lands and brought the proceeds to the apostles for the benefit of all. And in verse 36, there's a man named Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So it just gives us a little context of what was happening and what the people were doing and how they were sharing with one another. So they were sharing with one another, and people who had land, like this individual who was named Barnabas, the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, he had land, he sold it, and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So this was going to be for benevolence for all. They had all things in common. So now we go back to chapter 5, which is the topic we're focusing on today. And the first thing we see is that very first verse, you see that word, but. Now, see, I didn't say anything about that when I started out because I wanted to read it. I wanted you to sort of absorb what was going on so we could fully understand it. But, you know, that conjunction, but, as you all know, it means something's about to change. So while we had one individual who sold a piece of land and laid the proceeds at the apostles' feet, he gave it to the church. We have another person, another family who sold a possession, but in verse 2, but they kept back part of the proceeds. And his wife also being aware of it. You see, they had a plan. Now, what's happening behind the scenes is that they had pledged to give everything back to the church, but they kept back part of it. And his wife had knowledge of it. They worked in collusion with one another. Now, what they were doing was they were donating a portion of what they had pledged under the pretense that it was the full amount. Now, whenever we agree to do something and plan to keep something back, we deliver a part of what we have agreed to do. I have a question for us today. How many of us today have kept back part of our talent? How many of us have kept back part of our time? How many of us have kept back part of our tithes that we have pledged to be diligent about? You know, when we do that, we are only fooling ourselves, and we are deceiving ourselves before God. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, as we'll see later, they wanted a reputation of benevolence, like the other believers who had sold their possessions for the benefit of the whole church. The name that Jesus gave this practice was hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, which simply means wearing a mask or playing an actor. We must not think that the failures to reach our ideals is hypocritical, because no believer lives up to all that he or she has or wants to do for the Lord. But it's the intent that got these individuals in trouble. Now, the Bible teacher Warren Wiersbe talks about putting on a facade in front of the church. Even today, we will put on facades. We will put on airs, as some people call them, when we are doing what we do for the church. Even today, we want to have a reputation of doing well. Every now and then we get caught up in trying to do more than the other person did. So we will be recognized. But my brothers and sisters, that's not the reason why we do. We don't do it for recognition. We do it because the Lord has given us more than enough so that we share with one another. Now, we have this couple. They led this deception. But you know what? Whenever deception is done, it will soon be discovered. Let's look at the third verse, Acts chapter 5. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourselves? Oh, Peter just came straight out. He didn't sugarcoat it at all. He said, why has Satan filled your heart? And it's interesting that lies are influenced by Satan. You know, it's interesting that God wants us to be filled by the Spirit, but Satan wants to control us and influence us with lies. Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. But here was an individual who was not filled with the Spirit. And Peter called him out. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourselves? And he goes on in the fourth verse to say, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. So what Peter is saying is, now think about it. While it was yours, didn't you have the right to sell it or to keep it? After it was sold, didn't you have the right to give as you saw fit? This sounds good, but the problem is they lied about their intent. Because see, here's what happened. They had pledged to give everything. They had pledged to give all of the proceeds from the sale to the church. That was the lie. And then they got together among themselves and decided to keep back some of the proceeds. Now, it's not about how much you give, but it's with the spirit that you give. It's with the heart that you give. You know, this sin was motivated by pride. I want to be known for something. I want to be the one who gave a lot. I want to be the one who gave all that I sold, all the proceeds from what I sold, when in reality, they did not do that at all. See, that's the part that got them in trouble, because they not only lied to the Holy Spirit, but they lied to God. They lied to their fellow saints, but more importantly, they lied to God. Proverbs 8:13 tells us, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. You know, let me say it very plainly. God don't like ugly. Amen? God does not like ugly, no matter how form it is manifested in. And see, this sin was directed towards the church. You know what? Years ago, I heard of a church that wanted its members to bring their W-2 forms to certify that the members were tithing as they say they would, as they committed to. This church wanted proof to prove that the members were holding up to what they had said that they would do. Now we don't need to do that, because you need to know that although you might be lying to the church, you might be lying to me, but more importantly, you are lying to God. And you know what? If someone's willing to lie to God, there's nothing I can do to keep you from lying to me. Amen. Amen. If you're willing to lie to God, that's between you and God. Now, the interesting thing is that the church would have been okay if Ananias and Sapphira had simply said, we're going to sell this property and we're going to give 20% of the proceeds of the sale to the church. We're going to give 50% to the church. We're going to give 75% to the church. All of those would have been completely legitimate, complete reasonable things to give back to the church. But no, their problem was they said, we're going to give everything to the church. And they did not do it. So see, their sin was that they showed contempt of God. They showed sinful ambitions and utter disregard of the corruption that they were bringing unto the church. And because of that, they were punished. Now, mind you, Peter and the others are talking to Ananias. His wife is not there at this point. And in verse 5, it says, then Ananias, hearing these words, hearing and being convicted by Peter, he fell down and breathed his last. Upon being convicted, he died. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Now, it's interesting when you look at this, that we see that the result of their sinful behavior was death. And fear came upon all that heard about what had happened. Now, why did this fear come upon all who heard? Number one, it authenticated that Peter is a man of God, that Peter is a man of God. Secondly, it authenticated the message of Jesus to be truthful, to be honest, to set a standard far and above what the world sets. And number three, it authenticated the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. What are God-fearing people? I'm reminded of 1 Peter verse 4. Chapter 4, I'm sorry, verse 17, where it says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Let's just make it plain, folks. If we can't be honest with one another, what is the difference between us and the world? What is the difference between us and the worldly standard? You know, we live at a time where we are seeing history being rewritten to support a lie. We are living at a time when we are seeing the people that we should be holding and high esteemed are flip-flopping, depends on the wave of their constituents, as opposed to being able to stand firm on what they have pledged to do. We are living at a time when we have documented proof of lying, of wrongdoing. We are living at a time where we have people in law enforcement falsifying reports only to show that the visual evidence shows something else went on. You know, folks, we are not to be that way. People of God, we are not to be like the world. All we have to do is say what we're going to do and do what we're going to do. We are not in competition with anybody else. This is not a popularity contest of who gave the most, who did the most, who sounded the best, who dressed the best. This is not a competition. But see, our relationship starts off with our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that influences our relationship with each other as we are an example for one another. So Ananias fell down and died. And then in verse 6 of Acts chapter 5, And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. As a result of lying to God, he was wrapped up, carried out, and covered up. You know, when sinful thoughts come into our spirits, into our hearts, we need to stop right then. We need to wrap it up. We need to carry it out, and we need to bury that somewhere so that does not influence us anymore. Right when it happens, squash it, cover it up. Because, you know, that's a trick of the devil. Now, we see what happened to Ananias. Surely Sapphira is okay, because it was her husband who did everything. But no, let's move on, inquiry minds. The verse 7 of Acts chapter 5. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. You know what? She was privy to the plan, but she was not privy to the punishment. She was part of the plan, but she had no clue as what the punishment was going to be. And in verse 8, and Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look at the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out too." You see, they tempted the Spirit. Sin tests the Holy Spirit. Testing to see how much you can get away with before punishment. You know, as children, we used to test our parents. We tried different things to see how much we could get away with. You know, we would do things and we would think that sometimes that they're not looking, that they don't care what I'm doing. But you know what? They're watching the whole time. And as we're testing, you know, eventually we're going to test one time too many. And I don't have to tell you what the punishment was back in the day, you know, because we tested them. We wanted to see how much we could get away with before punishment came upon us. And we quickly found out that punishment was swift when it happened, and it hurt when it happened. Ananias and Sapphira, they tested, they tempted the Holy Spirit, and they were punished because of that. Deuteronomy 6:16 says, "You shall not tempt the Lord, your God, as you tempted him in Massah. You shall not tempt the Lord, your God." Again, Jesus even reiterated that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, where he said, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So again, going back to verse 8, Peter talks to Sapphira, says, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." And Peter tells her what's going to happen to her. Then in verse 10, we see, "Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathe her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out and buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church, upon all who heard these things, as she colluded with her husband while she was living. She laid with him when she died." This reveals God's displeasure with sin in the church, especially. He does not like dishonesty. There are folks sitting in the pews for years who have lied to themselves about their relationship with God. They might have looked the part, they might have looked good, they might have had good status, but they are not Christians. So great fear came upon all the church, It was a level of reverence, a level of awe that came upon the church. Once we come to the awareness of God and the awe because of his presence with us, hypocrisy can be put aside. Why did fear come upon the church? Was it the fear of sinning? Was it the fear of displeasing God? Was it the fear of Christ returning and find me not doing what I'm supposed to do? Was it the fear of being accountable before God? You know, one day we're going to meet God face to face. And when we do, he's not going to be impressed with our position. He's not going to be impressed with our status in life. He certainly won't be impressed by our bank account or our charity. But what he is going to be impressed with is our commitment to him. So as we look at this, as we review this, we look at the sins that were committed by Ananias and Sapphira. Number one, they had a sin of pride. They wanted to be more than they were. They wanted to be somebody. You know, every now and then we want to be somebody, but let's not base it on a lie. You know, there are people who are being fired from their jobs because it's found out that they lied on their resume. It's found out that they lied on their application because they wanted to be somebody. They want to be puffed up. It is being revealed today that people have lied in the past because they were prideful people, not satisfied with who God made them to be, but wanted to be more than they were. The other sin they committed was idolatry. Guess what? They loved money more than they loved God. They loved money enough that they were about to lie. They lied about it. Also, they committed the sin of envy. Remember in chapter 4 that we read earlier, the man Barnabas, who sold a land and gave everything, all the proceeds back to the apostles, they were envious. They wanted to be like Barnabas. They wanted their name in the paper for giving a great sum of money. Another sin they committed, they lied. We know lying is a sin. And then they committed the sin of being a hypocrite, pretending to be what they were not. Psalm 111, verse 10, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, and his praise endureth forever." You know, the beginning of wisdom along our Christian walk begins with our reverence and respect of the Lord. And there is that word fear, which does mean reverence. It does mean respect. It does mean having a sense of awe at somebody. We see that all throughout Scripture, especially the Psalms and Proverbs, Psalm 112, another one, verses 1 and 2, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed." Guess what? Ananias and Sapphira, I think their seed was cut short because of their lying, because of them wanting to be more than they really were. This is a lesson for the church today. This is a lesson for each and every one of us, because we are tempted sometimes to be more than we are. We are tempted to try and be like everybody else, like other people, and receive the praise of men for our benevolent acts. But we see, as the topic for this message is, there is a painful payback for prideful planning. And that's what really happened. They planned this out of pride. They planned this because they wanted to be what they really were not. All they had to do was be who they are, who they were. All they had to do was to agree on a sum that they were bringing to the church and fulfill that commitment. But no, sin, Satan influenced their decisions and they lied. And so because of that, they died. The question today is, have we suffered the payback for prideful planning? Are we living a lie today? We might look like we got it all together on the outside, but on the inside, are we full of envy? Are we full of jealousy? Are we full of pride? Do we want to be what we're not? You know, if you look at social media, it's trying to set a new example of what people should look like, what people should have, where people should travel. And it's making people feel bad about themselves. We have a lot of people in depression right now because they feel like they're not doing anything with their lives, because other people are portrayed a lifestyle that, to be honest with you, is a lie. They're not happy. They're not satisfied. They're not doing everything that they're showing you that they're doing. They have the same insecurities that many of us have. But you know what? With God on our side, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be bold like Paul and simply say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's good enough for God. If that's good enough for God, that's got to be good enough for me. So God bless you. And may heaven continue to smile upon us. And let us always be cautious about the motivation for doing things, especially among people of God. A lesson from Ananias and Sapphira, which is a lesson for each and every one of us. The painful payback of prideful planning. God bless you. God bless you.